Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's cyber seminar. We'll be focused on using MyHealthyVet secure messaging for researchers. So my name is Sundi Aduche. I'm a program analyst here in PRIDE, the Program for Research, Integrity, Development, and Education located within ORD. In the room with me today is Dr. Karen Jeans, who's the Associate Director of Regulatory Affairs for CSR&D, which is the Clinical Science and Research and Development Program here in ORD, and also Ms. Lucinda Schaus, who's a Program Analyst within CSR&D as well. And joining us remotely, we have the pleasure of being accompanied by the MyHealthyVet team, which is led by Dr. Kim Nazi. Now, ORD recently released a guidance document on using secure messaging for researchers, and that guidance document was done in collaboration with the MyHealthyVet team. So we really want to thank them for all their hard work in helping us get that document published. Today's training will be led by Kim Adams, who is a member of the MyHealthyVet training team. Kim is a nurse, trainer, and technical writer who has conducted trainings on various software since the early 90s. And she's been doing training for the VA for the past 6 years. And so, Kim, if you're ready, be happy to turn it over to you so we can get started.
Thank you, Sonia. Let me get my presentation up and running. Well, good afternoon. My name is Kim Adams, and I'll be your presenter today. And we're going to learn how to use secure messaging with research studies. As Sonia just mentioned, the guidance for VA researchers and use of the MyHealthyVet secure messaging document was recently released. And this document provides guidance on the use of MyHealthyVet secure messaging for communicating with the VA subjects. And this course was designed for researchers who are not familiar with secure messaging, and therefore it includes step-by-step instructions for using secure messaging. And just a few housekeeping items. As Heidi mentioned, this audio has been placed in listen-only mode. But I do want you to ask questions, so please be sure to use the chat window to ask questions at any time. That way they'll be there when we stop for questions at the end, and you won't have to worry about remembering them. Also, you do have the presentation available for you to follow along and take notes. There is a link in your reminder for today's cyber webinar. Now, secure messaging is a great tool that's currently being used between veterans and healthcare providers. Today, we're going to go through the 14 questions that are covered in the guidance document and learn how to use secure messaging with research studies. So upon completion of this session, you're going to be able to describe MyHealthyVet and secure messaging, explain how secure messaging can be used by VA researchers, state why secure messaging can't be used for research recruitment, explain the requirements to use secure messaging to communicate with consented VA subjects, understand the decision-making process for using secure messaging for research, describe the format for naming a secure messaging triage group for a specific study, list the steps to use secure messaging by VA researchers for an approved VA study, explain how to ensure messages from subjects in the VA study are received, also describe how VA study subjects can register for MyHealthyVet, list considerations for instructions for veterans for the use of secure messaging for the study team, describe the steps to handle a secure message received in error for the healthcare team, list the business rules for timeliness of response to a veteran secure message, explain the process to handle complaints sent through secure messaging, and explain how to document communication with VA research subjects. As I said, secure messaging is already.
Kim?
Yes.
Kim, this is you have to accept the screen so that we can see your screen.
Oh, my apologies. I just took right off.
Okay. Do you see that box?
I do not. I'm still seeing the box I was referring to earlier.
Okay. It might be, I don't know, if you can minimize the box that you saw earlier, and then you'll probably see it's a little pop-up, and it says view my screen or accept.
Let me see if I can just move it around, because when I minimize it, it takes the whole WebEx down.
Nope. Yeah, if you already are showing your PowerPoint, you have to get out of that mode. You won't be able to see it if you already launched your PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, I did. Let me get back out. Let No, ma'am, I do not have a little box to select.
Try to minimize everything.
I did. And
do you have the your window screen up? Are you seeing your window screen?
I do. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There's nothing else. Nope.
All right. Just 1 second, everyone. Sorry for the difficulties. Let's see what's going on. Heidi said she sent it a few times, so my fear is just that sometimes if there's anything, you know, layered on top of it, you're not seeing that. It's a little pop-up.
No, the only thing I have on my screen is the WebEx information itself.
Okay. Please forgive us, everyone. We're just going through some technical difficulties.
Which, of course, worked fine when we did our test.
Of course. Heidi sent it a few times. She has to call back in.
Sorry, my audio died on me here, so I will take this back. Kim, I'm making you the presenter right now. So get that pop-up on your screen with that big blue button to show your screen.
No, ma'am.
Click on what looks like the big blue flower in your taskbar at the bottom.
I just did. I just hit everything, you know, by minimizing and then click the WebEx link in the bottom, and it does. There's nothing there. I even hid the control panel just to make sure it wasn't hiding behind it. Is there someone else that can share the screen and I can talk to it?
I'll pull your slides up on my screen. You're going to have to, we're going to have to start from the top, and you're going to have to give next screen, every single screen here.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
I also cannot do questions. Sonia, you're going to have to do questions.
Now, Alicia could also, if you could make her presenter, she could present for me, and that would enable you to do questions. So we have her on here as backup in case the weather was bad.
Alicia, do you have the slides up on your screen?
Yep, I have the slides up on my screen, so if you'd like to make me presenter, I can drive those.
And did you get the big blue button that says show my screen?
Yes, I did get it. So let me know if you are seeing my screen.
We can see your screen. Yes.
Okay, great. And you're seeing
just
the PowerPoint?
You know, we can see everything on your screen, just to let you know. So if you get pop-ups from Outlook or from Instant Messaging, we will see those. You need to put slides in the slideshow mode.
Yep. However, I can get that.
So right now you're in presenter mode. You need to go to display settings.
Yep, I think I am pulling this over to my other monitor here. So sorry about that.
Okay, there we go.
We're good? Okay.
Okay. However, I cannot see them. I don't know what is going on. I cannot see them otherwise, but I think we can still do this. So if you could go to the slide that is number 4, Overview of Secure Messaging for Researchers. And we'll start from there because we just went through the agenda, the objectives. So we don't really need to see that, and we can begin with slide number 4. Are you there, Alicia? And I'm sorry, I'm doing this blind.
That is okay. I am on slide 4, Kim.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So as I started to say, the secure messaging is already being used to improve the communication between healthcare providers and veterans, and research studies can utilize secure messaging in a variety of ways also. For secure messaging for researcher, it's an easy-to-use online messaging system that's available through MyHealthyVet for the research subjects. It's safe and secure and is a valuable tool that can be used for communicating with consented VA study subjects. Now, today's presentation is geared towards researchers that are not currently using secure messaging and want to add using it with their research studies. So, therefore, it includes step-by-step instructions for the use of secure messaging. Now, if you're currently using secure messaging, there will be a presentation available to you that is called Secure Messaging for Researchers Course 1. And it just contains the information for the research study setup and does not include the step-by-step instructions. So let's look at some of the benefits to using secure messaging for research studies next. Next slide. Secure messaging is a convenient method of communication for both subjects and researchers. It's confidential and a secure method of communication because the subjects have been authenticated. And the subjects can respond at any time, not just during routine office hours. There's a distribution list that we're going to look at later in the presentation where researchers can use that to send secure messages to up to 250 people at one time. It's also easy to add the contents of secure messaging in the computerized patient record system, or CPRS, when it's appropriate. We're going to cover these benefits and how to set up and use secure messaging with your research study in today's presentation. Let's start with where the veterans go to use secure messaging, which is MyHealthyVet. Next slide. The web address for MyHealthyVet is www.myhealth.va.gov. Now, MyHealthyVet has a ton of information available. It's available 24/7 for veterans and their families. And using MyHealthyVet can help improve access to services, enhance health literacy, improve communication, foster integrated care coordination, and enhance satisfaction with the patients. It has links to health information articles and access to health data that is either self-entered from their VA health record or both. Let's take a look at those features. Next slide. There are many different features on MyHealthyVet, and which of these features can be accessed is determined by the account type. Even a visitor without registering for an account can access the mental health tools and the medical library sections in Research Health. There are a lot of areas on MyHealthyVet where all of the different account users can self-enter health information. That information can then be printed and shared with family members, caregivers, and non-VA health providers at the veteran's discretion. The basic account holders can do all of the self-enter information and also the healthy living assessment. There are two other account types with access to more features. Next slide. The advanced MyHealthyVet account holders can refill their VA prescriptions, review and maintain their medications history, and also view their VA allergies. And you can see the different items that can be done by the different accounts with the different little symbols next to them here on the slide. Now, the premium account holders have access to everything that MyHealthyVet has to offer, including secure messaging. The non-veterans that are participating in a research study can have a premium account also. So as we just saw, which of the features in MyHealthyVet they can utilize is determined by their account. Let's just review those different accounts again. Next slide. Anyone, veteran and non-veteran, can register for a basic account. And that basic account allows for self-entering of information, and then they can print it. An advanced account provides more access, while the premium account allows access to everything, including secure messaging. And a user can see their account type each time they log in. It's located next to their username, which you can see on the image to the lower right on your screen. So let's look at how users can register for MyHealthyVet. Next slide. First, the user goes to myhealth.va.gov and selects the register button. A registration form displays to be completed. Next slide. If the research study subject is a veteran receiving VA medical care, they must select both VA patient and veteran under the relationship to the VA section. You can see that to the right on your screen. When registering for My Healthy Vet, a non-veteran research participant needs to select the VA patient. The participant must have a treatment facility that belongs to one of the VA medical centers, and then the My Healthy Vet system will verify that they are a VA patient, and if true, after they complete the registration process, the non-veteran gets an advanced account. Now, we said we're going to need a premium account, so let's see the rest of the steps to continue registering and then what we have to do for registering for a premium. Next slide. The user then accepts the My Healthy Vet terms and conditions if they've not already accepted them and selects the Create Your Account button, and they now have an advanced account and can upgrade to the premium account. Remember we said in order to access secure messaging, they need that premium account. Next slide. To obtain a premium account, they must be authenticated. That is, being certain of their identity and then linking their VA account with My Healthy Vet so that information can be shared. There's a couple ways of accomplishing this that we're going to look at next. Next slide. One way is in person. They're going to authenticate in person by going to the local VA facility, showing their government-issued photo ID, and signing the VA release of information form. Now, this can either be the paper form, or at some facilities can be electronic using the signature pad. Then, once they are authenticated, the subject will be upgraded from advanced user to a premium user with access to all of My Healthy Vet. Now, if the user has DS Logon Level 2 credentials, there's yet another way to have premium access. It can be done all online. Next slide. A research subject with a DS Level 2 logon will automatically be an advanced user when they log into My Healthy Vet. And they're going to see an Upgrade Now button in the header that, once selected, will display the account upgrade page. They select the box in front of I certify that I am the account holder of this My Healthy Vet account and authorize the requested upgrade to a premium My Healthy Vet user account to certify that they are the account holder. They are immediately upgraded to a premium account. Now, if any time any of the research subjects have any difficulty in registering or upgrading to a premium account, please refer them to your local facility's My Healthy Vet coordinator, and they can help them get settled. Well, we've looked at what is necessary for the research subject to participate in secure messaging. Now let's look a little more at what secure messaging is. Next slide. Secure messaging is an easy way to keep in contact with your research subjects and they with you. Secure messaging had many updates in this latest release and is even easier for My Healthy Vet users. Users can see how many unread messages that they have, can compose messages, and manage their files from the home page itself without having to use a drop-down menu or having any more landing page. And composing the secure messages is also streamlined and easier to use. So you can see an example of the home page and also the page they'll see when they begin to compose a secure message there on your screen. So you can see it's very convenient for subjects to use. Next slide. And there's multiple ways for them to access it. It can be directly from My Healthy Vet, as we saw, or indirectly through a link to My Healthy Vet on vets.gov, access.va.gov, and ebenefits.va.gov using a DS logon. And, of course, it can be done on a smartphone, tablet, laptop, or desktop. Being available 24/7 makes it easy to reach out to the research team. Now, let's talk about the research team members. Is there anything special that they need to do to be able to use secure messaging? Next slide. Well, the first requirement is that the research team member must be a CPRS user. Then they must complete the mandatory education and training for your local facility. And once that is completed, they're going to need to have the My Healthy Vet coordinator or secure messaging administrator for your facility, whichever you have, Now, typically, it's more often the My Healthy Vet Coordinator. So from here on out, I'm just going to say My Healthy Vet Coordinator to cut down on doing the either or. So they're going to have the My Healthy Vet Coordinator, then activate them within the administrative or admin portal. And once the team member has been activated in the admin portal, then the research team themselves needs to make to identify the triage method of incoming messages. And each team member then set their preferences accordingly. And we're going to go through those steps. Now, in the research study itself, secure messaging must be specified as the method of communication and an alternative specified for subjects not desiring to participate in secure messaging, unless the nature of the study itself requires participation in secure messaging. So we've looked at what each team member must do in order to use secure messaging in a research study. Now let's must be done in the paperwork of the study itself. Next slide. Secure messaging can be a very valuable communication tool in your research study, even for VA-sensitive information, since the subjects have been authenticated. Before your research study paperwork is submitted to the Institutional Board of Record, any learning needs need to be identified as part of the standard operating procedures for the study. And as I mentioned before, in the research study itself, secure messaging must be mentioned as the method of communication. And also, again, the alternative must be specified for the subjects not desiring to participate in secure messaging unless it's the nature of the study requires participation in secure messaging. If the research study requires access to secure messaging, then this should be noted in the study eligibility criteria and also outlined in the study protocol. Now, it's very important to note that you cannot recruit for research studies using secure messaging. Let me explain why. Next slide. There is no way for a secure messaging user to opt out of receiving research recruitment messages or flyers currently. So recruitment by secure messaging will not be permitted until the functionality to opt in or opt out of receiving research recruitment messages is available. Let's look at the Institutional Review Board requirements next. Next slide. Now, these requirements are not changed. As part of the IRB's evaluation of non-exempt research, the IRB must apply the approval criteria in 38 CFR 16.111. These criteria include evaluation of communications provided to study participants in order to ensure that appropriate safeguards exist to protect the rights and welfare of research subjects, and, when appropriate, that there are adequate provisions to protect the privacy of subjects and to maintain the confidentiality of data. If the research study involves medical intervention, then any research-related notes saved in CPRS could be viewed by any VA staff with appropriate access to view the subject's VHA electronic health record. So this should be considered during your study's planning phase. Let's look at a few more IRB requirements next. Next slide. The specific types of communication that will be utilized in a particular research study must be specified in the study protocol, the IRB application, or supplement to the IRB application as part of the IRB application process. Now, please note that the applicable information security and privacy requirements must be adhered to in addition to the IRB approval requirements for non-exempt human subjects research activities. If a VA researcher is planning to use templated messages that will be sent to research participants through secure messaging, the content of these messages must be reviewed by the IRB of record for the research activity. So again, not really any new requirements, just applying them to this method of communication with subjects. Let's look at the various ways of communicating within a research study next. Next slide. A research activity may use multiple methods to communicate with research subjects. U.S. mail, secure messaging, email, text messaging, telephone calls, or a combination of any of these methods. Whatever is decided for the communication type or types must be specified in the study as the method of communication. And as we said earlier, there should be an alternative method of communication available and listed in the study for the subjects not wishing to use secure messaging. Again, unless that's an inclusive criteria for the research study. Now, you may be thinking there's a lot to do to use secure messaging in your research study, but don't worry, you have help available. Next slide. The MindHealth Evac Coordinator will help you set up secure messaging for your research study. And we've also developed some tools for you to use so that you can know that you have everything needed before you consult the MindHealth Evac Coordinator. And these resources will be found on your MindHealth Evac product site. So let's take a look at these tools, starting with the decision tree first. Next slide. When you're looking at the slide with the decision tree, we're going to start in the upper left-hand corner with the blue box. So the first thing to consider is, will this study involve medical intervention? If yes, then we're going to follow the green arrow over to the yes, and you're going to proceed to the next question. If no, then you're not going to need to create a new secure messaging workload clinic, and you can skip to the next slide. All right, so the answer was yes. The study will require medical intervention. The next question is, will documentation need to take place in CPRS? Again, if the answer is no, then you will not need to create a new secure messaging workload clinic and can skip to the next slide. If the answer is yes, that the study will be involving medical intervention and documentation will need to take place in CPRS, then ask yourself if workload credit or increments of time will need to be captured. Again, if the answer is no, you can skip to the next slide. Now, if you've answered yes to all three questions, then a new secure messaging workload clinic will need to be created. And the MyHealth Evac Coordinator will need to know this. So we've created a checklist for you. A setting up secure messaging for research studies list has been provided for you, and it'll be there on the product site also. So then, if you'd said yes to those three questions, you're going to answer yes to question number one on that list, and then continue to the next slide. Now, this decision tree is also going to be available for you as a quick reference guide so that you can have it easily available to utilize these steps. All right, the next steps are going to need to be completed no matter what answers you had for these first questions. Next slide. There is a specific naming convention for the secure messaging triage group that we're going to cover next after we get through with the decision tree. So you're going to enter that name for question number two on the checklist. Next, you're going to enter the research team members that we're going to be using secure messaging in the study and that have all of their education completed for question number three. Next, you're going to finalize your list, your initial list of subjects to be associated to the triage group just created, and enter that for question number four. Now, we know that both of these lists that we just talked about, your team members and your subjects, can change with time, and you're going to need to have people both added and removed, which can be done. These are just the team members and subjects to start the study with. Now, the setting up secure messaging for research studies list is complete, and you can contact the MyHealth Evac Coordinator. Once secure messaging is set up for your research study by the coordinator, then a decision needs to be made for the triage process for incoming secure messages. And each team member then needs to set their secure message preferences accordingly. And we're going to learn how to do that in this presentation also. So that completes the decision tree. Again, this second page here, all of these steps will need to be completed no matter what the answers were on the first slide. The first slide is just deciding whether a new secure messaging workload clinic needs to be created. So now let's take a look at the naming convention for secure messaging for research study triage groups. Next slide. Now there's a possibility that your research study subjects are already using secure messaging to communicate with their VA healthcare team. We want them to be able to distinguish between messages from the research study and the healthcare team. For this to happen, a study-specific name utilizing the specific naming convention for research study triage groups must be used. So let's look at this specific naming convention next. Next slide. First off, the character limit for the secure messaging triage group is 50 characters. The study-specific name is created using a combination of four items, two standardized phrases and two study-specific phrases. So it's going to begin with three letters indicating the study site, followed by the word research. Then it's going to be the study name or a short phrase that would allow identification of the message with the study. And then it's always going to end with study underscore RES. So let's look at how this pulls together to describe the study that we have as an example there on the slide. Let's say that the Baltimore VA was a participating site in a multi-site study called a comparison of type 2 diabetes and three modalities of activity to evaluate short-term and long-term effects on physical and psychological complications of diabetes. So the name then, the study-specific name for this associated triage group would be BAL-research, which is our word that goes in all of them, -diabetes and activity study, explaining the study, and then, activity, and then -study underscore RES. So again, this is going to be available to you as a quick reference guide there on the product site so that you can have that for easy reference. Now let's look at the other tool we've been referencing, the checklist. Next slide. The setting up secure messaging for research studies list is a way for you to have all of the needed information together in one place. After using the decision tree to know if you need to have a new secure messaging workload clinic created, you're using the naming convention for research studies to name the study appropriately, and you've gathered the names of your research team and research subjects. You're now ready to complete the checklist. And this is going to be found, as I said, on the MyHealthyVet product site. And once you have it completed, you'll know that you have all of the necessary information for your MyHealthyVet coordinator to set up secure messaging for your research study. Let's review the needed information for the MyHealthyVet coordinator. Next slide. So this is what you want to make sure you have ready, and you'll have it if you have that checklist completed. The decision that whether a new secure messaging workload clinic is needed. Again, we use the decision tree to come up with that decision. The name for the study secure message triage group using that specific naming convention. The team members for your triage group. The list of the subjects for manually associating in the triage group. And that makes your, and then that you have it all on the checklist. When it's completed, you're ready to go ahead and contact your MyHealthyVet coordinator. Now let's talk about having your preferences set correctly when you're part of more than one secure messaging triage group. Next slide. It's possible that researchers could already belong to secure message triage group and are now going to be belonging to a study-specific triage group. It's possible for people to belong to multiple secure messaging triage groups, but you can't have different preferences set for each of those different groups. We're going to go over each of the options and preferences and how to set them just a little later in the presentation, but I wanted to emphasize that you can only have one set of preferences for your new message notification and your inbox views. What works well for most primary and secondary care teams is to have an initial reviewer that reads the secure messages as they come in and then assigns the messages to the appropriate team members. And this can work for the research studies also. Assign one team member to be the initial reviewer, and they will then review and triage the research studies secure messages. The initial reviewer will either respond to the secure messages or reassign it to another team member as appropriate. Let's look at how you would set your preferences depending on which triage type your triage group has selected. Next slide. If you are having an initial reviewer for your research study secure messages and you are not that person, you're going to want to set your message notification to on assignment and your inbox view preference set to only messages assigned to me. If you do not have an initial reviewer assigned to the research study, or if you are their initial reviewer, you want to set your message notification to each message and your inbox view preferences set to see all messages. Now, if this is unfamiliar to you, don't worry. We're going to go through setting each of your preferences so that you don't miss any secure messages. It's very important that you set your preferences as soon as the triage method is identified. So let's do a quick review of what's needed to set up secure messaging for a research study. Next slide. So after you've consulted with your local My Healthy Vet coordinator, you will have the secure messaging workload clinic created if needed. Again, that was decided using the decision tree. The triage group created using the study-specific name and the specific naming convention. The research team members added as group members after they were activated within the secure messaging administrative portal, and the subjects associated with the study. And then, while you were going through the decision tree, you decided who was going to be reading and responding to the messages from your research subjects. And lastly, you make sure that everyone's preferences are set appropriately for that triage method that was chosen. All right, now let's look at the basics of using secure messaging. Next slide. There are two ways to access secure messaging. If you receive an email notifying you of a secure message, you can just select the link in the secure message notification Outlook email. Another way to access secure messaging is directly from CPRS. Next slide. When you're in CPRS, go to the Tools menu and then select Secure Messaging. If you don't see secure messaging available in your Tools menu, contact your facility's My Healthy Vet coordinator and they'll get it added for you. Next, a window is going to display asking you to please select login to continue. Next slide. So you're going to select login. This is going to take you to the next slide where you'll see two options displayed to log in. Next slide. You can select to sign in with your VA PIV card, but the recommended way is to select right below that, which is View Other Sign-In Options. A window will display with two options and select the Sign-In with Windows Authentications. Now, typically, it doesn't require a user ID or password, but if you're using a mobile device, it may require that to be entered. Let's start looking at the inner workings of secure messaging. Next slide. The inbox contains all secure messages received by the team and not yet marked complete. Users have the ability to search for a message within a folder and also move a message to a specified folder. We're going to see what can be done from the secure messaging inbox next. Next slide. Users can create new messages by using the New Message button and also create personal folders to help organize your messages, and there's also set folders already there that they could be accessed. Now let's learn how to navigate the inbox. Next slide. You can see an example, a screenshot of a secure message. Let's work our way down the column on the left of that. So at the top is the New Message button. From there, you can create and send a new message. Just below that is Inbox. All of the active messages are going to show there. And that's also a way you can refresh and see if you have any new messages by selecting that inbox again. Right below that is escalated. Any messages will display there that have exceeded the 3 business day completion rule and still need to be completed, so they'll be there in that folder. And the one below that are drafts. These are messages saved as a draft, whether it's through autosave or manually saved. Next slide. Continuing down that left-hand column, the next one is sent. These are only messages that you have sent. But the completed folder contains all messages that the team completes, not just the ones that you do. Below that is a deleted folder. Now, this folder is no longer functional, but it does still show. The reminder folder is, if a reminder is set, then the a message will appear there. The reassign folder, that's where you can track your message histories. The next folder is CPRS Progress Notes Alerts. Now, if any messages failed to save to CPRS, they will be in that folder with the error explanation so that they can be fixed. And then below that is My Folders. These are personal folders that you created within your own secure messaging account. Now, let's take a look at the secure message itself. Next slide. We're just kind of getting oriented here before we look at the different process. So at the top of each secure message, you're going to see first off on the left, the from. That's who the secure message is from. Next to the right is to. That's the team that the secure message is addressed to. Next is subject. Of course, that's the subject of the secure message. And then to the right is the date, which contains the date and time. Now I want you to note this is always in Eastern time. And your 3 business day completion rule is calculated using this date that displays here. Next slide. Then the last two are the assigned to. That's to whom the secure message is assigned to. And if it's blank, it means that message has not yet been opened. The last one to the right is status. If the status is blank, the message has not yet been opened also. And if it's been assigned, it's going to display there in progress. Just so you know, messages, secure messages will stay there for 12 months. Older than 12 months will be removed from your account and archived. So we've gotten oriented and saying what all the different areas are in secure messaging. Now let's look at how you begin with secure messaging. Next slide. You'll be activated for secure messaging by the My Healthy Vet coordinator after completing the education that's required by your facility, and each facility sets the requirements for that. It's very important that you set your preferences correctly to not miss any messages. To set your preferences, you select preferences in the upper right-hand corner from any screen when you're in secure messaging, and this should be done the very first time that you log into secure messaging. We're going to look at each of the different settings that we're going to set in preferences next. Next slide. First, the new message notification. You will receive a notification in the email address that you set up for receiving these. There's a link in the email that you receive that you can select, and it'll take you directly to that secure message. Now, the new message notification will default to your VA email address used in Outlook. It can be changed, but it cannot be left blank. So to change it, you enter the email address where you want to receive the notifications and then select Apply. Now, right below that in that same box is the Notify Me, and that's the next setting we're going to look at. Next slide. You decide when you receive notifications by selecting from the drop-down menu under Notify Me. There's 3 options. Each message, on assignment, and that one's not, once daily is the middle one, and that's not recommended. You can see why, because there could be a long time before messages got replied to. And the last one is on assignment to me. If you are the initial reviewer or the only person on your team, your notify preferences should be set so you are notified of each message. If you are not the initial reviewer or the backup initial reviewer, you may wish to set yours as being notified on assignment. So whichever the case may be, select one of those 3 options from the drop-down menu under Notify Me and then select Apply. So we've made the selections for how we're going to receive secure messages. Look at some of the options under preferences for sending them. Next slide. Distribution groups are a convenient way to send the same message to multiple people at one time. Let's learn how to set one up. Next slide. As you can see on your slide, that one is right below the new message notification. So the first step is to select Create a personal distribution group in that Manage Personal Distribution Group section of preferences. Now, important thing to remember is the person that creates the distribution group is the owner. And this is important because the owner is the only one that can modify this group. So let's go ahead and continue with the steps to create this personal distribution group. Next slide. So next, you're going to decide a name for this distribution group and enter it. You can see that at the upper left-hand corner there on your screen. Now, right underneath that, you see two radio boxes. Be sure and select the My Group radio button below. Otherwise, everyone can see and use this distribution group, and your distribution group might be getting some weird emails they don't know what they're about. Then, you're going to select the appropriate tab to search for the people you wish to be in this group. There's three different tabs or groups to choose from: patients, clinicians and staff within your facility, and clinicians and staff in other VA facilities. Select the tab that you want, and then search for and select your desired members. Now, you can multi-select several people at once and then select add. And remember, you multi-select by pressing the control key while selecting the multiple people to add. And you can have up to 250 members in a distribution group. Once you have them selected, then select Save Group. So you can see distribution groups can be quite the time saver, especially if you have questionnaires or something to be sent to several people at one time. But you're going to want to maintain this list. You want to add and remove members to keep the distribution group current. Let's see how to do that next. Next slide. Now, in that same section where you created the personal distribution group, you're going to select View or Modify an Existing Group. Then you're going to select the group name desired from the drop-down list and choose Select. Now remember, again, only the person who created the distribution group can make any changes to it. Next slide. The Edit a Personal Distribution Group page displays, and your chosen personal distribution group name will display there at the top left. You're going to see the existing group members in the column on the right. If you want to add new members, you're going to select the Search for Users to Add to the Group, and then select the desired new members. And again, you can multi-select, and then select Add. If that's all you're doing, then you can select the Save Group. Now, if you have some existing distribution group members that need to be removed, the whole list that are in your group will display there in that right-hand column. Select the ones that you want to remove. And again, you can multi-select. And then you can also, then you select Remove. And if that's all there is, then you can select Save Group. Now, as quite commonly, a lot of times you need to both add and remove distribution group members. And so you can make all of the corrections that you need and then select Save Group. No need to go back in and out of this area several times to accomplish this. Now, let's learn how to customize what you see in your inbox. Next slide. You have the ability to customize what messages you wish to display in your inbox. In the section labeled Inbox View, there are three options in the drop-down menu next to Display. These are All Messages, Only Messages Assigned to Me, or Only Unassigned Messages. It's very important that you set this correctly to make sure that your secure messages are not missed. If you are the initial reviewer or the only person on your team, your Inbox View should be set so that you see all messages. If you are not the initial reviewer, you may wish to set yours to see only messages assigned to me, and then select Apply. Another section under Preferences is Signature. Next slide. You can save more time by setting up a signature once to be included in each of your outgoing secure messages automatically. In the box under Name, enter your name as you wish it to appear on the signature block at the end of your secure message. Then, directly underneath that is the box for you to enter your title. Now, right underneath that it says Include Signature with a box in front of it. Be sure to select that before you select Apply so that it will display in your secure message as desired. Now, let's look at the last option under Preferences, Surrogate Message Forwarding. Next slide. when you're going to be out on leave, you want to make sure that someone's covering your messages. And you do that by designating a surrogate to respond to your secure messages while you're gone. You can set this up yourself in the secure messaging forwarding section in preferences. Now, in that section, you're going to select the staff or triage group that's going to be covering for you while you are gone from the drop-down list under surrogate. Then you're going to set the date that this is to begin under the from date and the date this is to end under to date. Now, both of these dates can be entered by either typing in the box directly underneath using two-digit month, two-digit day, and four-digit year, or you can select the calendar and then the date. You can either select in the box under all day, or if it's just for specific hours during the day, you can enter the hours desired for those days. If those dates or times are incorrect or your time off changes, you can clear the dates and times set by selecting clear. After you have everything just right, then select apply. And you can set up to 5 surrogates, including different time frames for each of them at one time. Just remember that entering a surrogate in CPRS does not set a surrogate here in secure messaging. They're separate. Now, using the steps we just went through, you can set this yourself in preferences, or you can let your gatekeeper know and they can reassign your messages to your coverage. So we just learned how to set up a surrogate to cover your secure messages while you're away, but there's something else important to remember about surrogate coverage. Next slide. We talked about setting your inbox view setting to make sure that the messages are seen. So a lot of times it's going to be set to on assignment. So even though you have set up the surrogate to receive the secure messages, if the designated surrogate doesn't have their inbox view and preferences set to all messages, they won't see the forwarded messages. So anytime you are either serving as a surrogate, you need to make sure and change your preferences to all messages, and you might be good to remind the person serving as a surrogate for them to do the same. All right, let's look at what all you can do in secure messaging. Next slide. Users have the ability to create a new message, reply to a secure message, move a secure message to a folder under My Folders, save a secure message as a CPRS progress note, complete, print, reassign, and close a secure message. And this is all done from the toolbar right above. Users can also triage and reassign messages as needed. Next slide. Again, it's all there in the toolbar above. Now, when you open a secure message, it reassigns it automatically to you. If after you read it, you decide that someone else is better equipped to answer it, or it should have gone to someone else to begin with, you can reassign the secure message accordingly. And we're going to learn how to do that in just a few slides. But I want to just remind you that when you open it, as I said, it does assign it to you automatically. So you can't simply close it and ignore it. You either need to respond to them or reassign it to someone else. But first, let's look at how to create a new message from scratch. Next slide. So when you're in your inbox, we're going to select the new message from the top of the left column. Then, to the right of 2, you're going to select the search for a recipient link. Now, there's a couple of key things to remember when you're initiating a message to a patient. First and foremost, if you are on more than one secure messaging team, the triage group field below your name is going to default alphanumerically to the secure messaging team name closest to A. And that may or may not be the team to which the patient is associated. So make sure before you send the message that you're sending the message from the triage group to which the patient is associated. And if you don't, the patient will not be able to reply to the message. And sadly, this still happens a lot. So after making sure you have the appropriate triage group that the patient is associated with, now we need to add the desired recipient. Next slide. The preferred method, which will provide the best results, is to search for a patient by the first initial of the patient's last name in addition to the last 4 of the patient's social security number. This is similar to searching for a patient in CPRS. The staff also have the option to search by name. Just please be aware of the labels for the fields requested. You can see them there on the slide. First name, last name, and then that farthest one to the right asks for the first letter of the last name and the last four of the social. So using the recommended method, we would enter the patient's first initial of the last name with the last four of the social into that field on the far right, select search, and when the patient names appears in the select recipient field, highlight the name and then choose select. That way, the name and recipient information will show up in that select recipient field. Now, some important tips for searching for a recipient. Next slide. Don't forget to have that first initial of the last name with the last four of the social, because if you don't, you won't see any results. If you're looking for a very unusual last name, you can search by the last name, but be aware it generates a list of all patients with this last name. So be very careful of using this method with very common last names. You could end up with a huge list. Here's just a few more tips. Next slide. If the patient that you're searching for hasn't logged into secure messaging at least once, they're not going to show up in your search. If you don't find them, try again. Maybe try using a different method of searching, but if you still don't find the desired patient, then it's probably because they're not yet using secure messaging. You need to contact them too. But when you are successful and the patient's name appears in the select recipient field, you must highlight the name and then select in order for the name and recipient information to show up in the selected recipient field. If it's correct, then select add to enter the patient's name to the secure message. All right. What's next? Next slide. Now you've got the recipient added in the to field. We need to select a message topic. The different options are general, appointments, medications, test, and education. They're all there in that drop-down menu. And then below that, you can enter a message subject. Next, you type your message in the large white box provided. Now just to let you know, if your message does include internet links, they're not going to show up as a hyperlink in the message as you are typing, but they will show as a hyperlink for the patient when they open the message on their end. You also have the ability to attach a file, and we're going to go over the steps for that in just a moment. Next slide. So before you send, you should always proofread your message, double check that you have the correct recipient and the correct triage group that they are a part of. If you did add an attachment, review it, and then you can select send. All right, let's talk about attachments for a moment. Next slide. Now, both subjects and staff have the ability to send and receive attachments, and it works the same way for both sides. Research staff can send a questionnaire to the subject. The subject can then download it, complete, rename, and send it back. And there are quick reference guides to give to subjects for this process. By selecting Browse will allow you to search through the folders on your computer and on the network for the file you wish to attach to the message. Double select the file you want to attach to place it into the field to the left of the Browse button, and then select Attach. Now you can attach up to four files, and the different formats that can be used are displayed there on your slide. The file slide size for a single attachment cannot exceed 3 megabytes, and the total size for all attachments cannot exceed 6. Once a file has been attached, the staff will not be able to preview the document. Let's talk a little bit more about attachments. Next slide. You should wait to add the attachment to your message to just before sending it, because if it's added and then it's saved as a draft, even as by auto-saving, that attachment is dropped. So you should always wait till right before you send it, make that your last step. To check that the attachment was included, you should see a paperclip icon with your sent message, and then you can also view the attachment by selecting the secure message from the completed folder. Now, we're not only going to be creating new messages, but we're going to reply to messages also. Next slide. Just like in Outlook, you can open the secure message by selecting the hyperlink in the subject column. Some of the messages will have attachments included. Next slide. If the sender has included an attachment, it will display as a hyperlink just below the subject. You want to select the attachment hyperlink, and a message is going to display asking if you wish to open, save, or cancel the message. Attachments cannot be saved directly to CPRS from secure messaging, but they can be saved to CPRS using two different methods. Let's look at these next. Next slide. An attachment can be saved to Vista Imaging and linked to a CPRS progress note by one of two methods. The attachment can be directly saved to a Vista Imaging import folder and then indexed and saved to Vista Imaging. And this is the preferred paperless method. Or the attachment can be printed and then captured to Vista Imaging using a flatbed scanner, just like is commonly done with outside medical records. Now, if you have any issues or questions in this process, you should contact your local medical records or release of information office. Next slide. Because we want you to be sure and follow your facility's policy for saving attachments. If the attachment is a PDF file, a message will display when you open it. The message informs you that opening and/or downloading it will create a temporary file that allows the information to be viewed by others if the computer is shared. And there's two options in this message. Agree, which accepts the risk and allows the attachment to open, or decline, which will not allow the attachment to open. Let's go through the process of saving the attachment paperless next, because not only does it save paper, but it also gives you a better quality image. Next slide. Not everyone has access to save files to Vista Imaging. If you do, then you can save the attachment paperless. From CPRS, first select Tools, then from the Tools menu select Administrative Tools, and then select Vista Imaging Capture. Now we're ready to save the attachment. Next slide. After you've selected the attachment hyperlink, the message displays at the bottom, giving you the ability to open, save, or cancel. You want to select the arrow that is next to save, and that gives you three options: save, save as, or save and open. Select save as. And selecting Save As allows you to save the attachment directly into a Vista Imaging import folder. Next slide. You're going to select the desired folder to save the image to, name the folder, and select Save. Next slide. Now you'll be able to view the attachment in the Vista import folder with all of the options for that folder available. Next slide. You're going to select Capture, which is a little bit farther than halfway down on your screen, and the confirmation message displays. You're going to select OK. Now let's look at some of the benefits of saving the attachment this way rather than scanning it in and saving. Next slide. When you're looking at the image in the display application, you're going to see the image as it was sent. If it was sent in color, you're going to see it in color. If it was sent in black and white, it's going to save in black and white. If you printed the image and then use a scanner to save the attachment, it would not be as good of a quality image. It would display in black and white only, and it would be less defined. Remember, your local medical record staff are the experts, and you can confer with them as the best way to capture secure messaging attachments to Vista Imaging at your facility. Now, let's look at replying to those secure messages that are sent to us. Next slide. Select the message and then read it through to determine if you are the appropriate person to respond to this particular secure messaging. If not, you can reassign it to the appropriate person, and we'll cover that in just a little bit. But if so, we're just going to simply select reply. Next slide. After you select reply, you're going to type the message. Remember, you can attach files as desired in case you wanted to send additional information, and then select send. So now let's learn about what to do when you determine you are not the appropriate person to respond to the secure message. Next slide. The system automatically assigns the secure message to the first triage team member who opens the message. Now, although there may be team members that are designated to open, review, and sort the messages, any of the triage team members can open the message. So if you open one by accident, you can't just close it. You have to either respond or reassign it. The staff member who initially opens the secure message will see a red banner at the top of the message indicating that the message is assigned to that person. After asking yourself if you are the best person to respond to the secure message and determining that you are not, then you're going to need to reassign that message. And there's two ways to reassign the message to another staff member. One is through the internal healthcare team communications box, and the other is a reassign message button. Let's look at the internal healthcare team communications box first. Next slide. You can see what the box looks like there on the right-hand side of your screen. Let's look at the different areas in the box first. First, you can see who the message has been assigned to. Remember, it displays the person who opened it or was assigned it last. Right below that is the link to be able to reassign the secure message to another member in your same team or research study triage group. Below that is the message status, followed by a link to change the status of the message, followed directly below by any previous comments. Now, when you're reassigning, do not change that status. You want to leave it as in progress. And then there at the bottom is a place to enter a comment if you wish. Now, something important to remember about comments. The internal healthcare team comments are not readily seen by the patients as the secure messages are exchanged, but they are ultimately discoverable by the patient and their representative by a release of information request. So a good rule of thumb, anytime you're writing a comment, is to always write them as though the patient or representative is looking over your shoulder. Now, let's go through the steps to reassign to another member on your research study triage team using this internal healthcare team communications box. Next slide. To reassign the message to someone else in your research study triage group, you can simply select the reassign within your team link from this box to the right of the message. Next slide. Select the intended triage method from the drop-down list. You should not change the status, as we said, when you reassign it. And remember about the comments, the precautions, that they're not readily seen, but they can be, and then send by selecting submit. Now the secure message will appear in the assigned triage team member's inbox as assigned to them with a message status of in progress. Now the other way to reassign a message is to select the reassign message from the ribbon. Next slide. Sometimes circumstances arise when a message should be handled or addressed by someone outside of your immediate triage group. And there's a feature that allows the message to be reassigned to another triage group or individual. First, you open the secure message by selecting the subject hyperlink, and at the top of the opened message, you'll see several different options. Reply, move selected to, move, save as a CPRS progress note, complete message, and reassign message. Next slide. We're going to select from those options reassign message. And by selecting that, you're going to get a reassign message box superimposed over your message, which will be grayed out in the background. When that pop-up window appears, you're going to be presented with three different options. Next slide. Those three options are to a team member in your group, to a triage group within your facility, and to a triage group outside your facility. And we're going to look at each option. Next slide. The first option, which offers the ability to reassign the message to a team member in your group, looks and acts similar to the one that we just covered in the internal healthcare team communications box. For this one, we're going to select to a team member in your group and then select submit. Next slide. After you select submit, a list of clinicians will display to choose from for reassigning. And using the drop-down box will present your triage team members. Select a team member. Enter any comments, again, remembering the precautions. And this time you're going to notice that the option of completing the message is missing from the box. It's just for reassigning, so you won't have to worry about changing the status by accident. Now, another option is if the veteran's message could be best handled by another group or specialty at the facility besides your triage group. For example, if the secure message was actually meant for your subject's healthcare team. So let's look at how to reassign it for that circumstance. Next slide. The second option is to reassign to a triage group within your facility. So you would select the radio button in front of that and then select submit. Next slide. Now this time it's going to give you two options on this screen. It can be reassigned by using the clinicians and staff tab or triage group. And it's encouraged when you're reassigning a message to another triage group within your facility that the best option is to reassign it to a triage group versus an individual, which is the default. If you do choose to reassign to a specific clinician or staff member, the tab Clinicians and Staff is where the user can enter the first name and last name of the staff member to whom the message is being reassigned. Let's look at using that default first. Next slide. To begin your search, you must enter at least one letter into the last name field to begin a search for the staff member. It is best to enter the last name in its entirety, and additionally, entering the first name narrows the search. Highlight the staff member in the list that displays, and then choose Select. Next slide. We've selected the clinician. Now we need to select which of the triage groups that they are associated with is the appropriate one. So once the clinician is selected, the triage group dropdown will only display the list of teams to which the staff member belongs. The user will select the desired triage group, add an optional comment if necessary, and then select submit. Now, if the staff member doesn't belong to any secure message triage group within your facility, there's going to be a message appear in red stating that another triage group is not available to reassign this message, and the submit button will disappear. Now let's look at the preferred way to reassign to another team at your facility, which is to a triage group. Next slide. The reason this is the preferred method is less risk of the message being missed by it being assigned to a group rather than an individual. If reassigning to a triage group using the triage group tab, you'll be presented with the secure messaging triage groups within that facility. Now, the teams that the patient is currently associated with will show in bold and will have the letter A in parentheses. Unassociated teams will also show as a reassignment option as well, but they will not have those indicators. Select the desired triage group from the drop-down menu. Add any comments, and select Submit. Now, when the receiving triage group opens the secure message, they'll see the following message. This message has been automatically reassigned to you, and it was reassigned from triage group XYZ. Now, the patient that sent this secure message is now associated with this new triage group. If the triage group to which they have been reassigned does not want to maintain the association with this patient, they'll need to contact their MyHealthyVet coordinator to remove the association. What will we see that the patient is not associated with this new triage group you've just associated, reassigned a secure message to? Next slide. Well, there's a red message that will display. It states that the patient is not associated with the triage group and shows the name of the triage group. It's going to ask you if you still want to associate the patient with this triage group and reassign it, yes or no. If you select yes, then the secure message is reassigned to this new triage group, and the receiving triage group will see another red colored alert when they open the secure message, letting them know that this patient is now associated with their triage group. If you select no, then the action is canceled and the secure message is not reassigned. Now there's one last option. Let's take a look at it. That's reassigning to a triage group outside your facility. Next slide. So you would select the radio button in front of that last option and select submit. Now on this one, you're going to need to first choose a VISN using the drop-down box. When the list appears, highlight the VISN and then choose select. The pop-up box will change and allow you to select a facility. Highlight the desired facility and then choose select. Now if you're not certain which facility or VISN, you can use the VHA facility locator or contact your My Healthy Vet coordinator. And that facility locator can be found on the My Healthy Vet homepage, just above the red toolbar, or on va.gov/directory/guide/home. Now again, the recommended path is to reassign to a triage group. Next slide. Again, less chance of being missed. So you're going to select this triage group tab, then select the desired triage group from the drop-down list of all of them for that chosen facility. And you can see which ones the patient's been associated with here also. Same way, bold and have an A after the group name. If you choose to reassign the message to an unassociated triage group, it's a good idea to add a comment so that they'll know why it's being reassigned to them, and then select submit. Now, what happens if this is a new facility for the patient? Next slide. If the message is being reassigned to a triage group outside the facility and the patient has no previous relationship with the secure messaging group, there's going to be a message display indicating that the patient is not associated with the selected facility. It also asks if you want to send a notification to the facility secure messaging administrator to associate the patient with this facility. The user can select yes, and if it does, then the system's going to send an Outlook email notification to the receiving facility secure messaging administrator. If no is selected, then the action is canceled. The secure messaging administrator is going to work with the business office to add the patient to the reassigned facilities VISTA system. The secure message will not be automatically reassigned. But once the patient is successfully entered into the receiving VA facilities VISTA system, the original staff who initiated the reassignment will be contacted to again take steps to reassign the secure message. And you can also choose to reassign the secure message directly to a specific clinician or staff person outside your facility. Next slide. You would choose the clinician and staff tab, then search and select a clinician. You're going to be prompted to select a team to which the clinician is associated. Select the correct triage group and then choose select. And the secure message will be assigned to that individual. We've learned how to reassign messages. Now let's talk about how to save the secure messages. Next slide. All or part of a clinically relevant secure message or message thread should be saved as a text integration utilities or TIU note in CPRS. And these notes can then be accessed by all VA staff with appropriate access to that individual's VHA electronic health record. And as we said earlier, that information should be included in the information given to the subjects prior to becoming part of the study. And this leads us to talking about a certificate of confidentiality. Next slide. Now, some of the research studies have a certificate of confidentiality. A certificate of confidentiality, or COC, is a way to protect research subjects by preventing investigators and institutions from being forced or compelled to release identifiable information on the research subjects. A COC is issued for applicable Department of Veteran Affairs research by several different Department of Health and Human Resource Service agencies. Let's look at what a certificate of confidentiality protects. Next slide. It allows the investigator and others who have access to research records to refuse to disclose identifying information on research subjects in any civil, criminal, administrative, legislative, or other proceeding, whether it's at the federal, state, or local level. The COC helps to minimize risk by adding an additional level of protection for maintaining the privacy and confidentiality of research studies, subjects in a VA study. Now, there's a difference depending on whether the study includes medical intervention. Let's look at the current policy for certificate of confidentiality in the VHA handbook next for studies not involving medical intervention. Next slide. The current ORD policy in the VHA handbook 1200.05 paragraph 21 states that for studies with a certificate of confidentiality that do not involve a medical intervention, for example, observational studies including interviews and questionnaires, no annotation may be made in the health record. So you note that this policy pertains to studies that are not involving a medical intervention. So let's look at the specifics for this. Next slide. So studies that do not involve medical intervention, no annotation may be made in the health record. It cannot be saved as a TIU note in the VHA health record, but it does need to be documented, all the communication in the investigator's research file. And secure messages are considered part of the investigator's records. They must be retained as required by VHA's Record Control Schedule 10-1. And investigators are strongly encouraged to copy all of the communication from secure messaging. And just so you know, secure messages are viewable in the secure messaging folders for 1 year, but they are then kept for an additional 74 years. They can be retrieved, but they have to go through the Release of Information Office. Now, let's look at the research studies that do involve medical intervention. Next slide. Now, we have two circumstances, whether the study does or not or does not have a certificate of confidentiality. If the study does not have a certificate of confidentiality and does involve medical intervention, then the clinically relevant secure messages are to be saved as a TIU note in CPRS. For studies that have a certificate of confidentiality and involve medical intervention, then ORD policy states that any details that would affect the subject's clinical care are to be included in CPRS as progress notes, as this information could be very important to their care. Let's look more specifically at the studies that do involve medical intervention and have a COC. Next slide. The VA principal investigator, or PI, is responsible for determining which of the secure messages will be documented in CPRS. If the PI determines that the secure message involves a subject safety issue, it must be placed in a TIU note in CPRS, even if there is a certificate of confidentiality. Subject safety is always the first priority, and we never want to compromise subject safety by withholding information that might be needed by their healthcare team. So we've just talked about documenting secure messaging. Now let's talk about timeliness in responding to the secure messages. Next slide. Now, any type of secure message, whether it's between a veteran and their healthcare team or a subject and research team, should be responded to and marked as complete within 3 federal business days. Now, completing a secure message is the same, no matter what type it is, and after responding and taking care of the message, you just change the message status to complete after you respond to the message. Let's learn how to do that. Next slide. Once you reply and select send, the response has been sent to the patient. You're then going to see the finished message options box. There are several options in the finished message options box with defaults. And to save the message as a CPRS note, you're going to use most of the defaults. So here's the different options. Assign to that defaults to yourself, which you want to leave it as. Would you like to change the status of this message to complete? That defaults to yes, and that's what we want. Save the message as a CPRS progress note. Now that defaults to no, so change it to yes. And then it's the one about, would you like to set the reminder for this message? It defaults to yes, but you can change that whether you want a reminder or not. Lastly, we have the comments box. And then after completing the finished message options box, you select done. Now, if there's been more than one message, you can decide which or all to save. Next slide. Now, if there's been multiple messages back and forth between the veteran and you for this topic, you can select all message threads that you see there at the top, or you can go through and select just the ones that you want to save in the one progress note. Every time you save a secure message as a CPRS progress note, you're going to see a notification. Let's see what it tells us. Next slide. The message informs you that your request to save the secure message in CPRS has been sent. And if it fails to save, you'll receive a notification in the CPRS Progress Notes Alerts folder. And that folder is located just above My Folders in the left column. You can check here in the CPRS Progress Notes Alerts folder, or whenever you log into Secure Messaging Account, you'll see a CPRS Progress Notes Alerts pop up. And that's going to notify you that a message was not successfully saved. No message means everything saved successfully. Next slide. So to review, if the secure message was sent successfully, you will not receive a CPRS Progress Notes alert when you log in next. You'll be able to find it in the completed folder, and it will not be in the CPRS Progress Notes alert folder. Now let's see what to do if you do receive a notification that the message did not save successfully. Next slide. You'll see the notification when you log in, or you can look in the CPRS Progress Notes Alert folder. Let's see what message you'll see when you open a message that has been saved in the CPRS Progress Notes Alerts folder. Next slide. It's rare for secure messages to fail to save. It can happen for a number of reasons. Included but not limited to the incorrect spelling of the staff or veteran's name and the unauthorized use of abbreviations in the body of the message. So when you log in to secure message, you would receive a pop-up notifying you of a message that failed to save. And the message would be in red above the message when it opens and will include instructions on what to do to successfully save the message. We know the time frame that a message should be responded to in and how to complete the message. Let's talk about what happens when that time frame is not met. Next slide. We need to be sure and change the message status from in progress to complete. Now, sometimes there are secure messages that do not require a response. They're rare, but they still need to be completed. Most things need to be responded to, and then you can mark it as complete. But an example of one that would not require a response would be the veteran replying, "Thank you." It doesn't require a response. Now, any messages that have not had their status changed to complete within 3 business days become escalated, and they should be resolved immediately. Once a message is escalated, all team members receive an Outlook email notification, regardless of their preference settings. And teams are responsible for ensuring that escalated messages are completed immediately and that steps are put in place that this doesn't happen again. The local secure messaging administrator tracks all of the escalated messages and will notify the supervisors of teams failing to meet the 3-day standard of completion. Now, let's talk about how to handle complaints that are received through secure messaging. Next slide. A complaint is evaluated in the same way, no matter how it's received. Always refer to your local human resource protection policy procedures to determine when the complaint needs to be reported to the IRB for the research study to which it refers. Now let's look at considerations for the subject's instructions. Next slide. We talked a little bit about this at the beginning, so let's just kind of recap here. When you're planning a research study, you always need to decide how instructions will be given to the subjects, either orally, written, or both. Also, when are those instructions going to be given? And it's no different when you're using secure messaging for the research studies. Some specific instructions should include how to identify secure messages for the research study from those they may be receiving from their healthcare team. Another instruction should be how to contact the study team through secure messaging. Something else to include when you're planning for the research study is to identify training needs for both the staff and subjects, as this needs to be done before the subject is submitted, study is submitted. So we just spoke about training needs for both subjects and staff. Let's look at some of the resources available. Next slide. Here are the different places that you can find resources for both subjects and research teams. They're found on the My Healthy Vet product site. You have the URLs there above also. The Secure Messaging SharePoint site, and also on the My Healthy Vet website. First, let's take a look at the resources available for subjects, starting on the My Healthy Vet product site. Next slide. Here are some of the quick reference guides, or QRGs as we call them, that are available pertaining to subject use of secure messaging for My Healthy Vet product site. These QRGs can be used by researchers to be able to help subjects with these topics, or they can be printed out to give to subjects. Subjects and other users can also access reference materials directly on the My Healthy Vet website. Next slide. There are several different types of resources available directly on My Healthy Vet. A navigation guide for My Healthy Vet, more quick reference guides, quick guides, user guides, the search feature, about, and on about that has different topics with tips and tools to use My Healthy Vet. And all of this information is easily available to subjects directly from the My Healthy Vet website. Subjects are not the only ones with lots of resources available. Next slide. On the My Healthy Vet product site are quick reference guides specifically for researchers. On the training and education page, there will be sections or tabs for different types of roles. And researchers will have their own section there. Then, of course, the use of secure messaging is the same for all VA staff, no matter what purpose they're using it for. Next slide. So on the My Healthy Vet product site, there are many different quick reference guides for using secure messages. Again, they're going to be located on the VA staff section of the training and education page and on the secure messaging page. Next slide. As you can see, there's lots of quick reference guides available, and this is not even the complete list. There's also another great resource available there. It's called the Secure Messaging Examples, Documentation, and Information Handbook. Now, quick reference guides are not the only type of resources available for staff on the My Healthy Vet product site. Next slide. In the Secure Messaging section on the My Healthy Vet product site is a wealth of information. There's several different sections, and you can see listed here with the different types of information. So be sure and go ahead and check out the My Healthy Vet product site for all of these resources. Let's look at who you can contact if you have any specific questions. Next slide. If after consulting the different resources available, you have a specific question about either accessing or using the My Healthy Vet secure messaging, you can email mhbsecuremessagingfieldquestions@va.gov. All right, let's do a quick recap. Next slide. So during this session, and we're running a little short in time since we started late, I want to allow time for questions. These are the different objectives that we covered today listed there on your slide. These are the 14 different points that are covered in your document, your guidance document, answering those questions so that you have all of the information pertaining to the guidance document here in the presentation and available in your resources. Next slide. This contains the rest of the different questions that we addressed today. Plus, not only did we cover those different questions in the guidance document, but we learned about the different resources that are available for both subjects and staff and where to find them. I know it's a lot of information that we covered today. You have the presentation, the link to it to refer to, and also all of the reference materials that are going to be on the product site for you. Just go ahead and check in. Let me hand it back to Heidi to check in for any questions. And thank you very much for your attention today, and sorry for the technical difficulties.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I keep going back and forth between being able to unmute myself and not being able to unmute myself, but it wouldn't go there for a second, but now it seems to have gone. We do have many, many pending questions here, so I'm just going to start at the top here, and we'll get to what we can possibly get done. If any of these were covered in your session, just let me know. As I often say, I'm not a subject expert, so I don't always catch everything that goes on during the session. Can veterans sync My Health Event data with the health kit?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part. Sync it with what?
Health kit.
Health kit. I don't know the answer to that. That's not come up in any of my information. Any of the other panelists can answer to that?
Hi, it's Kim Nazi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Yeah, so we are working on allowing veterans to access and download their data in interoperable file formats like CCDA. CCDA is a file format that contains not just the data but metadata, and it's accessible then through a variety of other systems. Can't speak today about Apple's new health kit, but we are aware of it and we are investigating. Thank you.
Thank you. Question here, what is a DS level 2 log on?
Hi, this is Kim again. So a DS log on credential is issued to service members in the military. In more recent times. So most often those military service members who they could be accessing VA health care in addition to still receiving DOD health care, or they could simply be transitioning from service member to veteran. For those that do have a DS logon level 2 credential that was issued to them by the DOD, they can actually use that then to log into My Health Event and also upgrade their account to premium.
Great, thank you. The next question here. We document study involvement in CPRS, but only dates of enrollment. No study data or health information. Would we still count the CPRS documentation as a yes?
I think we're a bit unclear on the question, so in the interest of time, if whoever asked the question, maybe they can resend it to us and clarify. I think they were referring to a specific slide, but given that we're, 130 slides in, let's just move forward with the questions, and if whoever sent that, just send us another email rephrasing that question, please.
Okay. Next question here. Can we have running updates to the list of subjects associated with the triage group as we recruit patients?
You can go into the triage group, the My Health Event coordinator, and can make updates and can see who is in there. I don't know if it will be allowed to the research studies that may be decided at each facility. You can, it is possible to see who all is associated with that study, the triage group.
Okay. And they sent in a second question here. For multi-site studies, do we need to set up a triage group for each site?
Dr. Nazi, I'm going to refer that to you. For multi-site.
I think that's a, Yeah, I think that's a great question. I know that we talked about naming conventions, recognizing that there are often multi-site studies. I think the best thing to do for that one is to get more information from some of our secure messaging subject matter experts. So the question is, we'll take this one for further action. The question is it necessary to set up multiple triage groups for a multi-site study? So we'll take that one to our experts and provide a response.
Great. Thank you. I got a request in here. Can ORD remove the old link from the website about secure messaging? Unfortunately, the draft guidance documents is at the top of the website, and I did not realize that there was a new final guidance document below. Thank you.
Hi, this is Karen from ORD, and appreciate the question. There are actually two separate documents. The ORD guidance, which is finalized, which was sent out last Tuesday, is specific to use of MyHealthyVet secure messaging system. The draft guidance, which has been very difficult to get finalized, is about use of email. Through Microsoft Outlook, through the VA Alex account, as well as using texting, using, for example, the VA iPhones. So they are two separate, completely different types of guidances and different uses. For example, there is issues in the other guidance about recruitment. In the interest of time, I won't get into all of this, but they are two separate guidances. So I appreciate you asking that question so that we can indeed clarify they're not the same. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. The next question I have here, so if secure messaging is used for a research study, are those messages only accessible to the subject and the research team, or can they be accessed by other VA providers that may work with that particular subject as a patient?
They are only between the research team and the subject, unless they are, as we talked about in the documentation of studies that have medical intervention, if it is information that would involve patient safety, then it would be saved as a progress note, and then the healthcare team could see it. But just the secure messages going back and forth is just going to be seen between who it's sent to and the recipient.
Great, thank you. Can you tell me how I can identify one of the MyHealthyVet coordinators?
There should be, I don't know how your directory listings are at your facility, but each facility should have either a MyHealthyVet coordinator or a secure messaging administrator.
And this is Kim. I can add that the product website, the MyHealthyVet product website on the internet that we will make sure everyone has the link for, we have a complete listing of all the MyHealthyVet coordinators by visit and by facility. So it's easy for folks to look up a particular contact at a particular facility.
Right. Thank you. The next question here, how do we access messages that have been archived?
Those would have to be requested through your request of information. Anything greater than 12 months are not going to be able to be accessed through secure messaging.
Okay, thank you. The next question here. I have seen documentation that CPRS is considered compliant with 21 CFR Part 11. Since secure messaging seems to be managed and stored within CPRS, does the VA feel that it is similarly compliant with 21 CFR Part 11?
So, hi, this is Karen here in ORD, and the answer is indeed yes, if it is within CPRS. You are indeed correct that VISTA, as well as CPRS, is considered, it and is, 21 CFR compliant. So, if it's within that space, it is considered to be compliant within the system. Excellent question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question I have here, they're wondering if they can include a hyperlink to REDCap in the secure message to implement a survey with veterans patients. REDCap does not work outside the VA firewall, but through My Healthy Vet secure message, wondering if they're able to use REDCap.
I'm sorry, I haven't had that one come up yet. Oh, good, Dr. Nazi. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, it is possible to insert a hyperlink into a secure message, but I would imagine that if the recipient is outside the firewall, let's say a study participant at home opening the secure message, then I don't think they would be able to access the REDCap if it's limited to the internal environment.
Yeah, so this is Karen again from ORD, and it is indeed the issue of whether or not the REDCap that you're using is within or outside the firewall, because just like regardless if it's My Healthy Vet, secure messaging system, or use of email, as in that other draft guidance, it can't refer to a site that's not considered to be a secure, so or is not within our information security issue requirements. So I'd like to follow up on that one, because I do think we could maybe issue a guidance about that question specifically. So whoever sent that, if you email us separately, I'd like to follow up on that question, because I think that's going to be a common question. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. The next question I have here, it was mentioned that MyHealthyVet secure messaging is not currently an option for recruitment because an opt-in, opt-out option is not currently available. Is there a timeline for this?
This is Kim Nazi. We do have a desire to add that kind of preference module in the future. However, I think it's important to note that we are in the process of implementing a website redesign for both the patient view of secure messaging changes were recently deployed, and also now the staff to make both much more usable products. So it's something that's desirable, but it is not yet on the slate for development.
Great, thank you. The next question I have here, I was confused by slide 23 that lists email and text messages as means to communicate with research subjects. To clarify, those methods are not allowed in VA research, correct?
No, I clarified those, and I was told that, yes, they were allowed. But please go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt someone.
So, yeah, this is Karen. You're exactly correct in ORD. It is an urban myth that email and texting is not allowed in VA research. We follow very similarly the requirements that our clinical side of the house follows, in that you can't use, for example, you can't send a sensitive message by texting because it can't be encrypted. And if you do send sensitive information through email, it has to be encrypted. So it's important to understand, you know, what is the content of the message and whether or not that message is sensitive or not. And again, all these have to be approved. We're talking about human subjects research through the Institutional Review Board. So I'm very glad that we're having a chance on this call to clarify that urban myth. So appreciate that question.
Great. Thank you. The next question I have here, do veterans receive a notification via text or via their usual email when they receive a message from MyHealthyVet, or must they log in to see the message?
They will only see it through MyHealthyVet, but now after the 18.2 release that just came out, they will not have to go any further than the home page. On the screen, it was very close to the front. I think it was like slide 6 or 7. There was a picture of the home screen. So now whenever, as soon as they log into MyHealthyVet, they'll be able to see the number of unread messages and click right on it and be taken directly to their inbox.
And this is Kim Nazi. I would like to add that they can also set their MyHealthyVet preference to receive an email notification when they have a new unread secure message. So if they can enter whatever email address they'd like to receive that notification in their profile, and then they'll get a message just letting them know that they have a new secure message and to log into MyHealthyVet and access that message.
Great. Thank you. The next question I have here, I could not find the setting up secure messaging for research studies list on the product site. Would you be able to provide a direct link?
A lot of those are still in review by the VA, so they may not be there. They will be. There is a section that says training and education, and so once they are approved, they will be added to that site, and there will be different role tabs added. So unfortunately, there's not much there yet. We're waiting for the review process.
Okay, thank you. The next question here, are secure messages not subject to RCS 10?
So this is Karen here in the Office of Research and Development. The issue is indeed if it constitutes federal record. And again, when you're talking about studies, communication to and from a subject is a part of the documents that are part of the study records. So unless they're considered to be working documents, we do indeed consider these to be records that are under the record control schedule, because they are federal documents necessary for the conduct of the study, reflecting the communication between you and the subject.
Great, thank you. The next question I have here, if a participant has already been recruited, for example, has completed a phone screen and is scheduled for an initial visit, but has not yet provided written informed consent, would it be appropriate to use secure messaging to send a reminder regarding the scheduled visit? In this case, the individual has opted in. Is verbal consent acceptable if you have a waiver to defer written consent until the first face-to-face study visit?
I'm going to defer that to the ORD office, please, on that one.
I want to make sure I understand this correctly. So, and I'm putting my glasses on, people. So this is Karen again. Because the whole issue is that the IRB has to approve the use of My Healthy Vet secure messaging subject issue, and that we wanted to be able to do this after the consent has been obtained from the subject. Now, what I'm hearing here, and I'm looking at, you're opting in. And that's confusing to me, because there's no such thing as opting in the common rule. You may opt in to receive further information about the study, but you're not opting in to consent. Otherwise, you have a waiver of documentation of informed consent. So there's some nuances to this question that I'm not understanding, because you can't just opt in based upon the common rule in our FDA regulations. So
this is Cynthia. One thing I would suggest, and looking at the question, is anybody in this situation, when you're coming up with your recruitment plan, depending on the nature of the study, this might be something you want to put in the plan, you know, ask your IRB permission, can we send a reminder email for scheduling subjects to come in to visit, and what would that look like? You want to propose the plan and let them weigh in and decide if they feel you have adequately laid it out and have the adequate protections. This would all be under recruitment, and it would be really for them to say yay or nay if it meets the requirements or not.
But it can't be a reminder, by the way, we haven't heard from you. Mm-hmm. We want to recruit you for the study. You need to schedule a study visit, because that does not meet the spirit nor the intent of ORD's guidance on the use of My Healthy Vet.
Great. Thank you. The next question I have here, is there a way to export a group of messages as a file or batch of files?
Sorry, I had muted. You can, when you're saving to a CPRS note, if there's a long thread, you can select all of the thread and have that all go into one progress note, but I don't know about batching several secure different threads into one. But I know you can put an entire thread into one note.
Great, thank you. The next question I have here, are there any plans to implement a video telehealth option to My Healthy Vet? And if not, do you know if there are any video telehealth options available for research?
I don't know.
Thank you. We are just rolling out in the Office of Connected Care a Video Connect app, which can be used for a virtual visit. I don't know about the impact of that for research, but the technology is coming about. So we'll take that one for further action as well.
Okay. And we actually have gone a little bit past our time here. I'm not sure if any of our presenters or discussants have any final remarks they'd like to make as we wrap things up here.
Dr. Nazi, would you like to say anything as the chief leader of all of this excellent work? We really, really appreciate all you've done.
Well, thank you. I would like to say that we've wanted to do this for several years, and it's taken some time. I want to thank Karen and Sandhya for their wonderful collaboration with us, really helping us to understand the nuances of research-related communication and how to address them in secure messaging in our guidance document. I think that finally enabled us to create this new guidance, and we know that it will be somewhat of a learning curve for some, but we also know that it'll be a real benefit for our VA researchers and also the patients who participate in research. So we are here to support you, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Kim, for presenting. We really appreciate everyone for sticking around. We know we went a little bit over, but there was a lot of content here, some good content, some great questions. Feel free to contact either the My Healthy Vet team at the email address they gave. If you have specific questions regarding accessing and using My Healthy Vet, if you have policy-related questions, you can feel free to contact ORD Regulatory Group at our VHACOORDRegulatory@va.gov. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great evening. Be safe for those who are going to be in the path of this storm. Thanks. Bye-bye.